WCSB Cleveland, 89.3 on your FM dial.
You're listening to WCSB Cleveland at 9.3 FM. My name's Randy Ellie. Got the Fusion Show, and we got a wild show today. Uh-oh. They're back. Like a bad penny or something else. Like a disease. Travis Larson Band. Travis Larson. Dale Moon. Jennifer Young operating the camera. And their sidekick, Mark Storm.
Randy. Our sidekick is my sidekick, Mark.
Hey-o.
And you have your mascot.
And yeah, we have a mascot named Bacon.
I'm Bacon.
A bacon pillow.
Bacon is the mascot of this particular
pillow in
tour.
The shape of bacon.
Now, like, when you go to restaurants, do you actually order bacon?
Well, you know, if you go to the Denny's, I don't know about out here, but out in California, they got a Baconalia right now going on, right?
Yeah, bacon milkshakes and bacon desserts and bacon on your eggs.
Absolutely true. If you check our tour diaries on Facebook, I did a thing on that a couple of weeks ago when we were out there.
No.
I didn't say hi yet. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
Good.
Glad you could make it.
Thank you.
You put the camera down.
Okay.
No, you did. That wasn't a request. It was a fact. Well, this is kind of the first we've really talked about the new CD as well.
It's absolutely the first we've talked about it. In fact, we haven't seen you since it came out, which was May 27th. Started touring June 1st, and here we are shortly thereafter hanging out in Cleveland, Ohio. And yes, the new album, Sound Mind. We have hours and hours to talk, I realize, Randy. But first of all, let me just get into this. Because last night...
I'm really afraid at this point. Go ahead.
We did a clinic at the Guitar Center in North Olmsted. Tonight, by the way, we're at the one near Akron.
Fairlawn, I believe.
Fairlawn, thank you. Yes, but last night, it was North Olmsted. I will mention before I start digging into you, that the guys at the GC there were awesome. Ernie Ball, Music Man, and Mark Bass were awesome, and we had some cool giveaways from those guys, and fun was had by all. And I'll start with a compliment. Number one, we had a great crowd, and many of them were Randy Aller fans. Obviously, brought out by the show, knew the band, but also knew you very well. And the reason I know this is because in the monologue, when we got started last night, I said, so tomorrow between 1 and 3, we'll be doing the Randy Aller show. And everybody in the audience applauded and then said, make sure you give Randy a hard time for us. Whole room full of people.
Wow.
Seemed to know the MO of these shows that we do together.
Am I that nasty? Well, now I'm going to have to just change my MO. I'm going to change it right now. Travis, how are you? Thanks for coming.
What was the 60 Minutes quote again?
An hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think last year we said that about my wife.
Yeah, but it wasn't truly, the quote was misquoted and she got unnecessarily upset about that. We love your wife. It's you we're worried about, Randy.
Yeah. Well, last year it was the thing I said, it takes my wife an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. She's not very intelligent.
You keep saying this, Randy.
And then I said, look who she married. That was where I left
look
it.
Look who she married.
Right. Yeah, look
that
who
was,
she married.
That was the joke.
That, right? Yeah, that really was the joke, yeah.
Right, right. But I'm trying to steer you away from this because she may again catch a piece of this on the air.
Oh, you know
again,
she's going to.
And then later on at dinner, there's going to be trouble.
Well, what was the best thing is my phone rings and it's my wife. And we were just walking into the studio, and Travis grabs the phone and goes, "Hi, honey, how are you?"
And then I was, you know, trying to figure out where we were going to meet for dinner later. I wasn't.
Wait, is that,
I
you
wasn't
guys...
necessarily including you in that, but.
But that's the thing with the Travis Larson band. Every time I deal with Travis Larson, there's a meal involved. Everything we do, we eat.
Well, now that hands down to only if Mark Storm is here.
Well, the only one that gains weight is Mark.
Yeah.
Gotta love it. Well, you know, all kidding aside, congratulations. The new CD.
Sound Mind.
Sound Mind.
Yes, thank you very
Excellent.
Much.
Excellent. And it's a little different than the other ones, but it's like a natural step. It almost, in listening to everything you've done, you could almost predict where the band was going to go next, and you guys did exactly that.
Well, I appreciate that. As long as we did it well, you know, or at least as well or better than we did it last time, that's all we're trying for. But, yeah, we tried to definitely bring it this time and not cut any corners and do as good a job as we could do. You know, I made sure that I was working really hard on the writing towards the end of last year and trying to come up with, you know, some stuff that I would be proud of and want to play for a long time. And that's always the case, of course, but back in the day, there were more restraints as far as technology and financially and all that kind of stuff. And nowadays, we can spend a little more time, at least technology-wise, working on stuff. Financially, we're still working on, Randy.
Now, I don't know how you can say that. I mean, you're doing instrumental music. Come
right,
on.
Right. Well, yeah,
isn't that a large windfall?
Well, mostly
tour buses, jet airplanes.
I was going to say, do you get a lot of bands who are loaded on the Fusion show?
No. Not a one.
Well, he gets some bands that are loaded, but they don't have any money.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Nice. You set him up, I'll knock him down.
I walked right into it.
Excuse me. Jen, what do you have to say?
Yeah, really. I mean,
yes.
Later. Come on, Jen. You haven't said a word. Dale has said more than you.
What I'd like to talk about with Jen here, I'll get her involved in this, the mosquito situation in Cleveland.
Oh, my alarm's going off.
The mosquito situation in Cleveland.
Are there bugs coming? She's got a sensor for that.
Right.
We don't know. She doesn't tell us. It's just part of her world domination.
Hello.
But the mosquitoes do a whole different thing to her than they do to the mosquitoes in California do. But she's been getting eaten alive out here. And usually, you know, we go out to California, and if I get bit by a mosquito, it's like I've grown a second head. I'm like the guy in that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie with the head popping out of his chest, you know. But this time it's Jen, which is a relief for me, but not so much for Jen. But
that'll be really sweet at all the shows coming up where everyone's going to be examining me and my millions of heads. I have two extra heads on my right calf. I have a couple on my arm and about four on my forehead right now.
The truth really, Randy, is that Mark Storm is a pro golfer, and we were setting Jen up for target practice out in the yard the other day.
Gotcha.
So
like,
if you see welts all over her, it's not insects. It's Mark Storm's golf swing practice.
Yeah.
Now, is Mark a good golfer?
He's the man.
Oh, wait. I'm a hack, but I love the game.
Mark eagled a par 5 yesterday in New York. Did I say that right? I don't even get the terms right.
That is true. I did eagle a par 5 yesterday.
So basically, he shot a hole in 3.
You got it.
Let me explain for the listeners that are not necessarily repeat listeners that Mark Storm is our artist rep liaison hanger out guy with the Electro Voice Company. Is that what it says on the business card?
Yeah. Hanger out guy.
Hanger out that's guy. That's the tail end of it.
Well, he's always with you. I was thinking he was the tour manager.
I'm just along on this one as a fan. I mean,
wow.
Big fan. I mean, I just love these guys and the new album. Completely rocks.
All the other fans, they keep it at distance.
No.
Who do you know?
No, I'm just dig hanging with these guys. They're just the greatest people in the world and some of the most talented people I've had the pleasure of meeting and hanging with at all. And so I'm just along for the ride, just having fun. Yeah.
Well, not to interrupt the whole Travis Larson tag along here. La 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 la. No, enough of Travis for a minute. Mark, you're coming from Minnesota,
correct? Yeah.
And now you're kind of an odd guy.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Randy.
Because
that's really something coming from you,
but,
Randy.
I mean, he holds down two key positions. Not one, but two.
Well, no. You mean with us?
Well, yes, no. I'm talking just with where he's working. Oh, yeah, besides all that.
Well, he just changed positions where he's working. So he's really got one position, but it was a transitional period.
Yeah, it was a transitional period. Spending a lot of time on the road, you know, working for Electro Voice, director of sales for key accounts. So that's kept me pretty busy for the last 6 months. And obviously, Travis and the band have been endorsers for Electro Voice for many, many years. And we couldn't be prouder to have them on our roster. There's no better talent out there to show our gear and promote their music and great sound. And that's really where our company lives. So we're just out there hitting her hard. And nobody's better than these guys at that. Articulate, they can talk gear, they know gear, and they spend their careers crafting amazing music using great gear. So it's easy for me.
Mark lets me use the he's got these wireless systems, the RE2 wireless system, so I can run around in the crowd and if there's trouble, because you know we travel light, we have a small crew, usually one guy, and it's Mark or nobody. So if there's trouble in the crowd, the EV wireless systems allow me to go into the crowd and settle it down.
Well, I noticed today
you'd be amazed at what a headstock will do to a drunk guy in South Bend.
Trav comes and rescues me a lot out there in the crowd.
I noticed that Mark wasn't carrying the guitar that Travis plays. Nor was Mark, Travis carrying the guitar that Travis plays. Poor Dale had to schlep it around.
Yeah, big shocker. Drummer's doing all the physical work.
That's because Dale has the day off.
That's true. I'm
That's
not
the rotating
performing
rule.
Today, yeah.
Whoever has the day off gets to carry the gear.
Wow.
I get it all back when I do a drum clinic and they have to carry a million drums and cymbals.
Yeah. Does that happen often?
No.
If he'd book some drum clinics.
Yeah, it happens once in a while.
Well, Mark, congratulations. The new position has you working more with the artists.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is something that you were good with even in the position where you weren't working with the artists.
Thank you. And that's always just kind of been a passion and a avenue of my job that I've just kind of explored and wanted to develop. And now I'm in a position where that directly relates, because the products we make are for retail and for average musicians and up-and-coming musicians and first-time musicians. And that's my world now. And it's just transitioned really, really well. It's gone great.
And one of the really cool things that we're really laughing at is the fact that Travis Larson Band does all this endorsing of EV, the clinics, the whole thing. You guys do sell vocal microphones, don't you?
Absolutely, we sell
them. Yeah, but have you seen how many drums Dale has?
Try to mic up that kid.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've taken most of their stock just for cymbal mics.
Wow. I was going to say, they're not doing a lot of endorsing of the vocal microphones.
No. But we've got one out front every night, regardless.
I will say, you know, we're out... We're doing these clinics for Mark Bass and Music Man. And Music Man, actually, I've got Mark turned on to playing Music Man guitars. And he's thinking they're like the best guitars on the planet now.
No doubt.
Really?
No doubt. Yeah, and I've owned them all over the years. I mean, I've played them all. And the Music Man I'm playing today with the Paizo and the Petrucci model is just phenomenal.
Mark actually plays pretty well.
Well, the last time I saw him playing was one of those bodyless, the little body, headless.
Yeah, my travel guitar. I have a Steinberger that I travel. It fits in the overhead and the airplanes and stuff, so that one travels real good. But yeah, my main ride is a Music Man Petrucci model, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Not a Lukather, huh?
Not a Lukather. And I'm not a great player. I'm a hack, but I love it, just like golf. Okay.
He is not a hack golfer, I will tell you right now.
As a guitarist, he's a tremendous golfer.
Exactly.
Ouch.
I'm trying to get these guys out on the course, because, you know, top fusion guys, they should be out on the golf course relaxing, having that downtime, right?
But you know why you don't see top fusion guys on the golf course, Randy? Because golf costs money.
You know the difference between a large pizza and a fusion musician?
I do not.
A large pizza will feed a family?
Oh.
So, I mean, that was a Stu Ham joke, believe it or not. That's where I heard it from. But, I mean, yeah, it's all in perspective. Plus, golf. Sorry, Mark, I don't get it. I was an average golfer, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
What?
About the only thing I could say about nine holes is I always hit that one shot that made me come back.
That's it. That's the love of the game. You know, you do something spectacular and
chasing around a rock.
People on the radio are like, when are we going to talk about music? But they don't realize there's another hour and a half to come. We've just started.
I know, and I have a feeling I'm going to get beat up, but good.
Are all of your interviews, you know, 2 hours long and like this?
No. Only you guys.
So you better just start doing some talking, Jen.
Well, I mean, do you play more music typically?
I typically play more music,
yes.
Do
you talk about more music?
I talk about more music. I play more music. I do more promotion.
But we're special.
That's why I can't tell anybody you're going to be in Akron tonight at the Fairlawn Guitar Center. I won't mention that.
I wouldn't mention
that. And I won't mention the fact that it's a 6 p.m. start.
It's a 6 p.m. start as opposed
to
last night.
Because Travis needed sleep.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, where do you ever go on tour?
If you show up tonight.
At 6 p.m.
If you show up tonight, you know, aside from the wonderful giveaways we have from Mark Bass and Ernie Ball Music Man, Randy said he's taking everyone out for dinner and drinks afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Stab.
By the way, as long as we're talking about all this, tomorrow night we'll be at Wilbert's.
That's correct. Tomorrow night we'll be at Wilbert's, which is kind of our usual haunt now, next to the stadium in the city.
Actually, I heard last night that you shouldn't call it the stadium, you should call it the ballpark.
Okay. Yes. It's the ballpark.
Because the Browns play at the stadium.
Gotcha.
And everyone was really confused as to where you were talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's by Progressive Field.
You guys have two places of sporting events.
We do.
In the city. Oh, okay. It's that big a city.
We even have sidewalks nowadays.
No, not that I've seen. not in the neighborhoods, my friend.
In a few of them. All right. Well, we have something queued up right now, Forest for the Trees.
Are we going to talk about that a little bit?
Would you like to?
We don't want to
just
get into
yelled
music
at me about
here.
Playing more music.
Okay, well, this is another one off the new record, which should I describe it or should I make somebody else do something?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. See, Jen never talks on these things, and then later on we talk about how she never talked. So later on, we got to talk to Jen.
And then Jen gets mad. Well, you know, I hate to say it. The last time Jen opened her mouth up on this radio show, somebody showed up with those little...
Oh, yes.
That's right. I'm sure I'll be receiving mosquito repellent tonight.
Yeah.
Guaranteed now.
The first thing I noticed when we came into town, and I had forgotten, but we stopped at an Arby's, because that's the kind of high budget we have on the Fusion Tours with the Travis Larson Band.
Beautiful.
But I went in to use the facilities, as it were. And again, can I say the word, or do I have to spell?
No, you could say the word.
Okay, so they have... no ass gaskets in Cleveland.
None.
No, you can't find them. In California, you know, we've got all kinds of apparatuses that you pull off the wall, and it's like a barrier, if you will, for the last guy and the next guy.
Well,
and
I got to thinking,
stuff.
Too, on this trip, how sweaty people get out here. And you
they don't sweat in California?
Not really.
We don't get this kind of heat and humidity.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah,
it's a dry heat.
You would think with, you know, butt sweat all over the place, you'd want that barrier more out here.
Absolutely.
We could probably just wrap the show on butt sweat.
Yeah, we like each other a lot more.
So last time we were here, we played, and Jen, somebody brought her, actually it was time before last, I think, but somebody brought her a box of ass gaskets from the hardware store. So this time, she's covered in mosquito bites, everybody. We're just letting you know.
You know what that means.
From head to toe.
Oh, poor Jen.
And you ask why I don't talk at these.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, Forest for the Trees.
We'll be back with the Travis Larson Band. Travis Larson, Dale Moon, Jennifer Young, and Mr. Mark Storm. And guys, glad to see you're in Cleveland.
God, yes.
It's wonderful to see you guys in Cleveland.
You know, you are the root of the reason we come here, and that
I know.
Truth.
Isn't that horrible?
That's
don't
the truth.
You? Somewhere you went wrong in your career. You ended up in Cleveland on the Fusion show.
But Forest for the Trees, real quick, there's a lot of segueing, overlapping parts to this song, and if you pay too much attention to any one of them, you kind of lose the big picture, and that's how we got the title for Forest for the Trees.
Thank you.
by Barrage et Trois. Was Barrage it meant to be French?
I don't know. Who came up with that?
Is that...
What's funny is that when, like, tonight... Tonight, I think
it was me.
Was that Dale?
I don't know. Yeah.
Who's squeaking? Tonight, I can call it Barrage et Deux. Because I think it's just going to be a bass. And,
oh no! Just two of
guitar
you.
Guitar clinic, yeah. So it'll be Barrage et Deux.
Is Dale schlepping food while?
Yeah, I'll be snacking over at the merch table.
So if there's any drummers that just want to spend their evening with Dale, tonight's the night.
Yes, Dale's lonely.
Oh, yes. By the way, that was off the Rate of Change live album. That was a live version of Barrage et Trois.
You see, this is the only guy that knows what he's doing.
Well, he's like a real DJ.
I'm just trying to get off Barrage et
Trois. Wow.
Yes, that was Barrage et Trois.
We need to talk about that a little bit. Okay. Not Barrage et Trois, but the Rate of Change live.
Yes.
Now, was everybody feeling well when you did this CD?
We were feeling pretty good on that one. Because the joke is that Randy talks about our first DVD from 2001.
By the way, I turned the DVD onto a CD so I could actually play it.
Yeah, I know. You're the only guy that plays that audio.
We don't have to be that thorough.
Right. Looking at it and listening to it at the same time is one experience, but focusing just on the audio of it when it wasn't released that way is another, Randy. But anyway.
Hey, faith for radio. You know how that goes.
Right. But we were, everybody had colds or the flu or something when we shot that first DVD, which will be 10 years old November 30th, actually. This coming November 30th will be the anniversary of that DVD. Yeah,
but really,
yeah, 10 years old.
But that came out 10 years ago.
Yeah,
crazy, huh?
Isn't that something?
That was a quick 10 years.
That was filmed on my birthday. That's how I remember.
You were sick on your birthday.
Yeah, and so I won't tell you which birthday I'm having now, but that one. That one we were actually documenting. This one we're going to try and forget. So, yes, but what you just heard was off the Rate of Change live DVD and live album, which is about 2 years old now, I think. Something like that. 2-3 years old.
Yep. 2009.
That was our 10-year anniversary release as a band. We released we filmed that in 2008.
Correct.
Because our first record came out in?
1998.
Are you marking this all with a number two pencil?
Yeah, we are going to keep score. Now, the drawing on the front of the first record.
The self-titled.
Doesn't really look like Travis.
You don't think so? Yeah, well, it looked like me back then. It just looks better than I ever looked, that's all.
You almost look psychotic there.
You don't think Travis looks like a majestic person on a fantasy novel?
That's what I see.
Oh, a romance novel. Okay.
It's awesome. It's cool. It's like that kind of airbrushed art where it looks...
Yeah, let's see you dig yourself out of this one. Just remember, I didn't say that.
Next.
Barrage et Trois.
That was my brother did that, and he was doing some airbrush art back then, and yeah.
You know, you could almost, like a seasonal disc, you could almost put like bats in the background and a jack-o'-lantern there.
The thing about the actual art from that record, Randy, the thing about that actual art is this thing is huge. And if you I walk into my parents' house and they have it in one of the rooms, and it's a little scary, actually, because when he did this thing, he did it so it could be photographed at high res and all this stuff. And it's a huge painting, right? So this thing, you go into my parents' house and you can imagine... Mom, what are you doing? There's like a 5x5 shot of just my face, not including the surrounding artwork and all that stuff. So it's a little bit intimidating.
It's a conversation piece.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Travis, something that big, you need a couple bats in there, a cat with a black cat with the arched back, a jack-o'-lantern.
Even my brother would say, dude, don't hang that in your apartment because it looks a little bit, it's like, hey, I've got a huge poster of myself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you couldn't put
that
up.
Welcome to my lair, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry, you couldn't put that up. No. It's a very good album cover, but it almost, because of the colors, looks very fallish. Mm-hmm. You know, it's beige, kind of a fading almost into an orange.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, you know, we've been debating amongst the band on that album whether or not we would keep it in print, even because it's you know, it's our first record, and so far we have. But you know how that goes. It's, you know, you were talking about how we've kind of improved past certain things, like everybody does. And there's two ways of thinking. There's the one of, you know, do you want people that find you now and find your first record, you know, as maybe their first listening? Or do you want to, you know, kind of steer them towards the stuff that you're currently really proud of? And then there's the thinking of you're deleting, you know, Henry Rollins would say we're emissaries of culture and you shouldn't delete titles. So what do you think, Randy?
I don't know. It's kind of a, yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, do you want people to listen to the brand new record and then go back to that one?
I don't know if I mind that. It's the people that find the old stuff first and think that's the bar, you know? Like if I, even, you know, even if you take some of my favorite bands, if today you took a kid and he finds the very first Rush record, he may not get it, you know? Because we grew up on that, right? But you listen to that now and it sounds, you know, to a kid today, that's the production on it's going to sound pretty dated, and it's going to sound pretty different than what you would hear on regular commercial radio. Not necessarily the be-all, end-all Randy Aller radio that we know and love.
The be-all, end-all?
Because there's only a few people, I always say this, but there's only a few people in America that are actually spinning, you know, independent and interesting music, and you're one of them, Randy. So.
Yay, Randy!
Dale and I simultaneously just reached for the bacon.
I'm bacon. Oh, that's so wrong.
We have our, yeah, if you, at some point on the video on Facebook, maybe tonight, you'll see the, this is our mascot. It's this big stuffed piece of bacon that says,
I'm bacon.
You need a picture of that.
It's the tour mascot.
With the guitar and Travis's hair.
Oh.
In fact.
Oh, you have one already?
While we're on the air, I'll fire up my flip video so that tonight on Facebook you can go on here. You can see the bacon and you can say, there's bacon and there's Randy.
This is all very my stunt fascinating double. For the listener right
this
now.
This is great radio. Yeah.
Yes, my stunt double. Oh, boy.
Next.
Well, you know, I getting back to that, I would hope people would, no, not the bacon thing, but the first disc.
Yes.
If people catch and maybe hear sound clips from each record progressively, they're going to see that the first record really isn't as bad as you're making it out to be. I mean, it hooked me in.
Well, I would hope not. Yeah, I mean, if you liked it, then that's saying something because you hear a lot of music. And
well, I think the songwriting is, you know, is really well done. Still, it was just back then the production issues and the recording processes we were dealing with were a lot different than now.
I feel like we wore our influences on our sleeve a lot more back then, though. You know, like you do when you're starting out.
Yeah, that's true, but the writing didn't suck really bad.
Well, yeah, we were stealing from all the best, right?
Nice.
So, perfect.
Which is a perfect segue into the NAMM show this last year, because we were playing back and forth with Steve Morse and Dave LaRue every day at the Ernie Ball Music Man booth. So, you know, of course those guys are a huge influence on us, and they know it, and we know it. So we're trying to figure out which songs we can play that don't sound like Steve Morris. Like, what can I play that doesn't sound like Steve? Because he's coming on in 20 minutes, and then I'm going on again, and then he's coming on.
Well, I hate to say it. Steve was starting to sound a little bit like Travis Larson there for a while.
Yeah, I don't think so. He must have had a bad day, right?
Oh. Well, it's really funny because you look at Ernie Ball.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of people endorsing them. I mean, huge, huge names. Guys like Lukather, guys like Tony Levin.
Petrucci.
Yeah, John Petrucci.
Albert Lee.
Yep.
But a lot of people don't know who Albert Lee is, although he's extremely influential and a great guitarist. There's a lot of the maybe the fusion listeners that won't know who he is. But you put all that aside, okay? Steve Morse and you guys were the ones demonstrating the equipment.
Yeah, they mixed a few other people in. We were kind of the, I think we were the ones most available for the whole weekend. And Ernie Ball, you know, obviously they do a lot with Steve. He's got a signature model, and they've done, considering who we are, they've been really, really good to us, and we've been using their stuff for now about 10 years also. You know, well, yeah, it has to be, because we were playing Music Man on the first DVD we were just talking about. But they make the best stuff in the world, period, like Mark was saying, as far as guitars go. I mean, it's a family-run company still, and they make sure that everything is hand-built and goes out the door. And I've literally gone in there several times and seen how they do it and seen what kind of care goes into these things. And they're hand-building these things every day. They make them feel like worn guitars in a good way, where they don't have any sharp edges on the neck, you know, for the guy that's listening that isn't necessarily a guitar player. They basically try and make them feel like a worn pair of shoes, but it's a brand new guitar, if that makes sense. And so,
and Randy, you hit it right on the head. And so you have a great company like Ernie Ball Music Man, and who do they choose to put up performing at NAMM on their stage? This isn't just by chance. They pick the most incredible sounding individuals and bands to, you know, to bring across their product. You know, introducing the Game Changer guitar at NAMM was why Travis and Steve were all there, and Dave LaRue. And these are the best sounding guys in the business. And that's, from my point of view, also why we choose guys like Travis and Dave LaRue to show our wares in the world. So you hit it right on the point. Why do they choose it? Because they're the best sounding group sonically around, no doubt.
That actually, believe it or not, that was actually what I was getting at.
Absolutely. I knew you were going there.
I can't believe that three hacks, forgive me, three hacks, people don't know Travis Larson. They know Steve Morse. Mm-hmm. They know John Petrucci. They don't know Travis Larson, the Travis Larson Band. Yet you guys are much better clinicians and friendlier people. You're easier to work with. I mean,
people wouldn't know it from listening to us with you, but we do love you.
But I mean, you guys don't come from this huge name. You're creating it very, you know, you're moving
it
forward.
We're working on it.
But I mean, you haven't had, I guess, the big flash that Steve Morse has had with the Dixie Dregs.
Sure. Well,
or that
I think
John Petrucci has had with Dream Theater. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think
more than anything else.
That's the time we're living in, too, partly. You know, the Dixie Dregs would not make it like they did back in the 70s.
I don't
today.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because the only radio stations playing this stuff are, you know, there's a few like yours. But, you know, as we know, there's commercial radio out there has kind of taken over everything, and they're not going to play this stuff.
No.
But Mark mentioned the Game Changer guitar from Music Man that we were demoing down at the NAMM show, and that actually ended up getting Best in Show after that weekend. So that they, out of however many products, you know, thousands,
yeah,
got Best in Show at the NAMM show for the Game Changer, which is amazing. So we were really happy to be a part of that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about each of them. Dale's events, Dale's drums, clinics, things like that. The Game Changer we have to talk about. That's just a brilliant, brilliant piece of equipment. And Jen, you have Mark Bass.
Yes.
So why doesn't somebody pick what they're endorsing and start?
I will. I just
pick me. Jen, go.
I hooked up with Mark Bass about a year and a half ago through actually Music Man, because Sterling is a huge supporter of Mark Bass, and Music Man and Ernie Ball are in bed with Mark Bass. And so yeah, I've been using them for about a year and a half, and I love the stuff. They're an awesome company out of Italy, so I got to start working on my Italian. We actually did a show with them at the NAMM show this year. We were playing with Frank Gambale and who else was there? Jeff Berlin and all these crazy cats, and they were foreign. I was scared.
Alain Caron?
Yes. Anyways, yes, Mark Bass has been really great. Great stuff. I love the gear. I'm finally... Well, we had been playing through PA systems for so long last year with the Electro Voice tours that I was loving the flat sound I was getting through a PA. And when I went back to my old rig, that wasn't the case. But now with the Mark bass stuff, it's like that again with a bass amp. So.
And what's also really cool about this stuff, as a band, we tend to load the gear a lot, is that stuff doesn't weigh anything.
It's really light. I'm blanking out right now, but the F500 or something, and it literally fits in my purse. So I can have my lipstick and my bass amp.
It's a bass amp.
It's a 500 watt head, weighs 5 pounds.
Yeah.
5 pounds, Randy. You're a bass player, right?
Badly.
Yeah, but a little bit.
Yeah, Mark and I are starting a band now. We're going to call it the Unlistenables.
But yeah, great stuff. And then I just started using the DV Mark guitar stuff, which is not available in the States yet, but you will see it soon, I am told.
So now how are you able to use something that's not available in the States?
Well, they were nice enough to get me some amps to use, but eventually I think they're talking about late in the year, I think maybe the fall, this stuff will all be available in guitar centers, I believe.
Wow.
They're doing similar things with the guitar stuff that they're doing with the bass amps, where it's lightweight stuff, but these are real tube amps as well. So pretty amazing to have a lightweight tube amp, as a guitar, all guitar players know. And the other thing, they've got a few things with them where they've got some cool features. You can change the voltage of the amp incrementally, where you can basically turn it down if you want to saturate it and actually get almost some distortion out of the power section, like as if you were cranking the amp really loud to compress the power section of the amp, but you don't have to do that. Or you can turn it up and play really loud and get a clean sound, but they're giving you so much control over these things that it's going to be a really cool thing when it finally hits the market. So
that's just not, what are you guys going to do if Music Man starts to make amplifiers?
Well, Music Man, I don't think they're going to go back into that, but they were making Music Man bass amps, and actually I think Music Man bass amps, Marco, who is Mark Bass, was the designer of those Music Man bass amps.
Oh, really?
They were doing those. I believe that's the case. Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
So I have to, you know, if wow. I get my facts wrong, I have to be fairly careful, but I think that's the deal. And so I think Music Man was just, you know, they've got enough to deal with, you know, instruments and strings and all that stuff. I mean, they're doing very well with that stuff. And getting into the whole separate industry of selling amps, you know, it's a whole can of worms into itself. So I think they were done with that, but the Mark Bass stuff is tied in with that, so that's why Sterling and him, I believe, are close.
Fabulous.
Correct.
If that makes any sense. Sounds like great stuff. Dale.
We gotta, yes, sir. We got to get Dale in here. I mean, Dale's been way too quiet.
Yeah,
I think he's plotting something. So now you do some clinics as well.
Yeah, if we're in a new area and we're between, you know, nights, it's always fun to do a drum clinic and get all the drum geeks together and talk about drums. That's my concept of a drum clinic.
That is fun.
Sounds fun.
These guys are glad I haven't been talking.
Two musicians and a drummer were injured in a car accident. we read that in the paper last time we were here.
Oh, that's rough.
Now, Dale, I'll let Dale continue talking, but I was just going to give Dale props for hanging with this these fly dates, because we've had a few the last couple of weeks, kind of sporadic dates around the country where we've been flying a lot, and he's been basically really flexible with the kits that we've been getting him, and that's made our job a lot easier. So Dale's been killing it on whatever they put in front of him.
Yeah, I've been trying to be less, what's the word? Uptight about with the gear I'm playing when I'm on the road, because
less maintenance.
Yeah, less high maintenance, less of a princess. I don't know.
18 cymbals normally, is that the deal?
Well, drummers are 13. Always playing other people's gear. You know, we switch out all the time just because it's a bulky instrument. But with this kind of music, it just seems different. That it's not just slamming 2 and 4 all night. You're really trying to blend in with unison runs, and you really have your parts worked out. So when there's not a thing where there normally is, you know, it throws you. And I used to be really, it was a big challenge for me to play on other sets with this band. And yeah, last couple of years I've been trying to let go of a lot of that. The more we, you know, fly all around the country, the more exposure we get, the more I'm going to be faced with that situation. So this tour has been a pinnacle of that, I guess I'd say. I've played everything from... I've played everything.
What was that first kit?
And nothing. I played a four-piece Max Roach kit the other night, trying to play, you know, Travis Larson songs, and it worked out okay. And, it's been great. People have been kind enough to lend me their gear while, you know, we sit in on their stuff, most people.
There is one band, but
I'm not going to get...
We won't mention that.
I don't blame people who don't want to share stuff. I get it.
Guitar player, I can blame anybody I want, right?
But I fly out of California with pedals, sticks, and a bunch of samplers and cables and, some underwear, and we're good.
You try and try and try to work with the people, Randy. You know, you want to make it easier for them and you, but them as well. Where, you know, say if you share a drum kit, two bands are going to play back to back. You might as well just share the drum kit, right? You got a set of your music, a set of their music. And if you didn't have to move all that gear, the audience would get a tighter show. People would just be able to switch out. Things would work smoothly. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Now, isn't it true that the guitarists are going to use the same back line?
Yes.
And just switch out their pedals?
So really, it's the drummers with the ego, I guess.
Oh. I got no issue with you, guy.
So, Jen...
You're going to get me in a fight?
Jen, how are you dealing with the disease the band has, LGS?
Lead guitar syndrome?
Lead guitar syndrome,
LGS.
You know, going in.
Right now, not so good.
Jen, we know Jen's the star of the show. She's our secret weapon, and she's who people come to see, and we know that.
Hey, real quick.
Absolutely.
Real quick, before I miss my window, I'm going to throw in my endorsing companies.
Please do.
I'm playing Gretsch drums, and I endorse Gibraltar Hardware and Sabian Cymbals, of which I'm just a flat-out fan, not just I can work with them. I'm a fan of that company. They make amazing stuff all the time. Vader Drumsticks, Evans Drumheads. I think that's my contractual obligations. DB Drum Shoes. I have drum shoes. Back to being a princess.
Drum shoes?
Yeah, they're kind of like dancing shoes, but they're for drummers.
So what, he leaves the house with underwear and drum
and,
shoes?
His slippers. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Sometimes he prances around at the fancy motels that we stay in with his drum shoes.
Oh, that is just so wrong.
I'm surprised the calls aren't flooding in with, what is this crap you've got on your station right now?
Well, you know, I have to ask one more question. Jen, I'm sorry. This is just, I feel so bad for you. Because, you know, Travis hit it right on the head. You show up and you tolerate Travis and Dale. You're there to see Jen.
You tolerate.
Do you?
Absolutely. Oh, come on. She's adorable. Stop it.
No, I meant, do you tolerate us?
Well, we do. We,
yeah, absolutely. You come to see Jen.
All the people that showed up at Guitar Center last night tolerated you and Dale.
True. That's true.
Basically, you weren't working last night, or did you?
No, he played last night.
I was playing.
You played last night.
I was tolerated last night.
They tolerated two people to be able to see one.
Yeah, that's about right.
I think that's blown entirely out of proportion. Come on now.
We don't.
So they not only tolerate him, but what else?
They don't always tolerate us.
Oh, boy.
Sometimes they just start yelling, Jen, Jen, Jen.
No, they don't.
Jen Solo is what they yell.
Okay, next.
Hey, come on. Who would think somebody Jen size could play a full-size instrument?
Yeah, have you seen her fingers? They're not real fingers.
Well, I know. I mean, I have bigger hands than she does. I'm probably a little bit stronger. I can't play a bass like that. I'm jealous.
I wouldn't go so far as say a little bit stronger, Randy, but you're definitely
bigger.
I know.
She's tough. She's a scrappy little thing. And now everybody's going to show up tonight just to see Jen.
She does have tiny,
tiny little
fingers.
They're going to boot Travis off the stage. They want to see Jen.
She's our pint-sized Dave LaRue, yes.
Absolutely.
And as Dave would say, you can't get more pint-sized than me. What are you talking about?
Right, exactly.
Well, Jen, congratulations on everything. You've taken a lot of abuse from the guys.
Yeah.
And myself.
Yeah.
And you seem to tolerate it very well.
You're just embarrassing me. I don't have anything to say.
Just sit there and smile.
Okay.
That's all anybody wants.
That works.
But it doesn't work on the radio.
What was that email you said you got last night?
Oh,
infectious.
Was that a YouTube that I got? I can't look at it because I'm recording the
Somebody
show right
said
now,
I had an infectious smile. And I was just thinking about all my mosquito bites.
They meant to say infected.
Infectious.
The mosquitoes are smiling.
Right.
Well, we have another one queued up.
Yes. We're gonna play one that...
You need to explain this one.
Yeah, this one's kind of funny because it almost sounds like it gets upside down in some sections where Dale is playing the opposite of what we're playing. But this is a tune called Cartoon Justice, which is... Cartoon Justice is kind of... You know, when you watch cartoons and you know how there's always the good guy and the bad guy and they spend the whole... Kind of like you and me, Randy. They spend the whole show...
Which guy am I?
Beating each other up, right? And
morning, Sam. Morning, Ralph.
Exactly. But no matter how hard they beat each other up, nobody ever really gets hurt, you know? And that's kind of cartoon justice. And, you know, the good guy always seems to come out triumphant.
Anybody that didn't get the reference for Sam and Ralph, that was Wile E. Coyote.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yes.
And the sheepdog that used to watch over the sheep from the Warner Brothers cartoons.
If you don't get that, you shouldn't be listening to this show.
Absolutely.
Because that's the age bracket.
I grew up with that stuff. Come on. See, I'm not alone. Mark's head's bobbing.
I was there.
That's the only cartoon.
Oh, boy. Here's one called Cartoon Justice. 216-687-3515. We're here at the Travis Larson Band. And we'll have to get into, once again, the show tonight, the show tomorrow night, websites, the bands that are going to be appearing with you guys. And we got to talk to Mark a little bit about what EV does, for those that don't know as well.
Sure.
Since you decided to show up, it's good to see you.
Well, thank you, sir.
We gotta push everything now. So we'll be back after Cartoon Justice. Let me remind everybody, you're listening to WCSB Cleveland at 9.3 FM. This is The Fusion Show with the Travis Larson Band. From Rate of Change, Unlive.
Unlive, that's...
Unlive.
That was...
That was really a great CD.
Oh, thanks, man.
So that was Other Place?
That was Other Place, yeah.
Okay.
Which is kind of our more fusion-y tune off of that record.
That was kind of a mellow piece, very smooth sounding.
The interesting thing about that tune was that was my first... You know, I've been playing piano for years, but that's my first recorded piano solo on a TLB record.
That's why he played it.
Which at live, I just play a guitar solo, but, you know, piano doesn't fit in the suitcase. But
well, they make suitcase models.
Suitcase model is entirely different than a suitcase piano.
So now, where do you have a piano that you could do that?
Well, I have, you know, we have a studio in San Luis Obispo, California, which is where we've... resided for the last 12, 13 years with our engineer Kip Stork and Avalon Digital Recording Studio. And we have that place, and I've got an old Rhodes 88, which I think we've got some Hammonds occasionally, depending on what Kip's doing in there, and all kinds of fun stuff.
Very cool.
But yeah, I started out playing piano when I was 10 years old before I ever picked up guitar, and then I realized... much like Branford Marsalis says about playing saxophone, with a guitar, you could get women. Now, actually, you could carry a guitar was the thing, and I always liked the idea of being able to bend notes and be expressive. And, you know, with a piano, you can do things, but it's all, you know, you have to slur notes. You can't bend them and meld them into more of a vocal quality, and I always liked that about a guitar, so...
I never looked at it like that. Yeah, you're right.
You can, you know, to me, it's really close to, you can make it close to a human voice, you know, almost like a saxophone or a horn. So I'd probably play some kind of melodic instrument if I didn't play guitar. But I still play piano, and I still play it on the records. And, you know, I'm not as proficient as I once was, but I try and work up some chops when it's time to record and come up with some stuff.
So I'm just wondering when you're going to put out that vocal track.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we did one on Burn Season where we had our friend Vinx sang a song.
Who, no. You guys have to say.
Well, then you should have been at Mark Storm's birthday party last Saturday.
That's right.
Because I sang all kinds of stuff. We did about 70, 80 minutes with Mark, and I sang 80% of that set.
Wow.
Yep.
How'd it go?
I haven't watched the video yet.
How bad is it?
It's awesome. Is awesomely it? Bad. No, it's good. It's
man, here's the deal, and I don't know why it turned out this way. But, you know, I sang like the Hendrix and the Stones and all that kind of stuff. And then we brought Mark in to sing like the really, really...
G-A-Y?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Y-M-C-A.
The kind of 80s...
Oh, no.
Did some Simple Minds.
Yeah, Cure and the Simple Minds and all this stuff at the end of the set with Mark because it was his birthday, you know. It was a little, I mean, he actually does that stuff very, very well. It's why that I have a problem with.
Why he does it?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Guy's got a lot of range.
Now that Mark's gone, we can talk about it.
Yeah, he's out of the room right now.
Wait, he's going to have to listen to this.
Right. As soon as he left, the trouble started.
Absolutely. And he's like your chaperone. He keeps you guys out of trouble.
Right. Well, Mark, yeah, he really is a great, great guy and... you know, he's an easy guy to travel with and all that stuff.
He does make the tours a lot more fun just because there's that extra dynamic of, you know, a fun guy to be around and very positive all the time.
This is like three siblings, you know. It's like if you've been in a room together for 20 years, you know, it's like you don't want to talk to your brother.
We should talk about the new record.
The new record, Sound Mind? Yeah, we'll just take Randy's
take over Randy's
away from
show.
Okay.
Yes, the new record, Sound Mind, Jennifer.
Ironically titled.
Perfect.
Well, usually Randy starts asking about artwork and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But so I'm going to, you know, kind of push you into doing that, Randy. But
is that left brain, right brain, or is it like a mirror image?
Well, that's cool that you would immediately think that it might be left brain, right brain, because it's called Sound Mind. But what it is a Rorschach test to find out what you see.
A bug.
Yeah, I actually, myself, I see a bug. Jen sees a brain scan, I think. Dale had some...
No, I don't see a brain scan exactly. I see a brain with stuff squirting out of the guy's ears, like... His brain's exploding because he just heard the best music in the world.
Wow.
That's what I see.
Yeah. Where do you go with that?
Wow. But I almost see like a face in here too.
But yeah, so what we've been doing is we have you know, a bunch of promotional cards and posters for the record, and they all have different Rorschach tests on them so that you, the home viewer, can test yourself, find out if you're sane and what you see. And then we went through a lot of different ideas for this record. This is the best one we ended up settling on. And we still have some stuff in the reserve maybe for the next record because we had a few different really cool graphics that could have worked. But this one here actually was Jennifer. She actually... came up with that and actually designed that. So,
well, she seems to be the whole artistic talent.
Yep.
I mean, didn't Jen do a lot of the other records as well?
There is the songwriting.
Oh, yeah. Travis is responsible for the songwriting.
I mean, I'm not trying to...
Well, you know, the music's okay, but that artwork...
Yeah, right.
No, but, you know, Jen does an incredible job with that stuff, and she, you know, keeps the website going and all that sort of stuff, and...
Yes. I don't know. What do you want me to say? Yes, I did the artwork on the record. I like art. Oh, in fact, we went to the Cleveland Museum of Art yesterday.
We did. And if you go to my personal Facebook, we have the band Facebook, but if you are not already a friend of mine and you friend me, I posted some pictures of that yesterday because we saw a mummy.
We saw some Renoirs and Monets and Manets, Picasso.
Yeah.
Rothko. Yeah. It was fascinating.
We saw what do you call the
like swords.
Like the sword suits, you know, the mesh.
We saw a mummy and some swords.
How fast do we get away from the album?
I know.
We're talking about the museum again.
Hey, there's Mark.
Let's talk about the record and the museum.
We were talking about you when you were gone, Mark.
You were.
Yeah, a bit. Because we were talking about the gig the other night, and he was asking when I was going to sing on a track. And I said, well, I sang for a good, 60 minutes the other night, and then brought Mark in. And I was telling him, I did a lot of the Stones and Hendrix-y kind of stuff. And then we brought you in.
And that got really gay for a little while.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
That was exactly what they said, too.
You know, okay. You're talking my age group here, okay? All right. It's my birthday party. And yeah, we had some fun. We had a great time. But yeah, Trav was singing. It was incredible.
But isn't Stones and Hendrix more your age group than Cure and Simple
Minds? Yeah, I grew up in the 80s. You grew up in the 70s and the 60s. And
he was getting paid in the 80s for playing music.
Yes, that was my deal. Yeah. When I was actually making money in the music business, we were playing that stuff. So
I defended you and explained that you were in the Priest tribute band too.
Why? Thank you. There you go.
Judas Priest tribute band.
Absolutely, the tribute. Judas Priest.
Were you KK Down?
Wow.
I was Glenn Tipton.
Oh, Glenn Tipton. Okay,
I played the role of Glenn Tipton.
I stand corrected.
As we were all big fans of Priest in the day and decided to do a tribute and have a lot of fun. So I had my little brother Mike on drums and a couple high school buddies filling out the band. And we had a lead singer that can do Halford, and that's a rare thing. So
don't let him fool you, though. I've seen video of this stuff just from as recent as 5-6 years ago. And these guys did it for real. I mean, there was Marshall Stacks.
Were they good?
A mile. They were phenomenal.
By the way, Mark can play. Wow. We were all joking about it, but Mark is a serious good guitar player.
Why, thank you. I'm a hack. I'm just keep putting that out there. Yeah. But I love to play. I've played for years and years.
So are you going to be joining the band at all tomorrow night?
At Wilbur's? No, I don't think so.
What with the changeover time getting expanded so widely with the changer of all the gear that we couldn't share, then no, we don't have time for Mark.
No, I didn't think so.
Because there's going to be valleys of time between bands, you know.
Well, we want to announce that Uzizi is the band. When I was actually playing bass seriously, I tried out with the band Uzizi way back when.
Really?
Yeah, and they were very talented, and I was not.
I am not familiar with the opening band tomorrow night. I heard it's an a cappella group.
I heard.
To be honest with you, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
When I tried out with them, they were a guitar, drum, and bad bass player trio. And then when I didn't get the gig, they turned out to be a guitar, drum, and reasonably good bass player trio.
Are you sure they're the opening band tomorrow?
I thought that's what I saw on the website.
Oh, okay. Could be. I'm not sure, but I heard that it was an a cappella group.
With 15 people in it.
Yeah.
Well, this was also 25 years ago.
Gotcha.
So they've gathered a few people along the way.
Yeah, they've gathered a few people, probably have added music, dropped music.
Gotcha.
It's not the cast Stones at bad tryout bass members.
It's not the Tone Rangers, though, right?
No.
Tom Tom on the kick drum. Tom Tom.
Next.
References are getting too deep.
It doesn't get any better.
So we're going to give away some CDs, right?
We are going to give away some CDs, right, Randy?
We can do that.
As many as you want to give away, because we only have two more gigs, and then we can give you the rest of our boxes.
And then you don't want to take everything home, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what?
We'll give away, three, four CDs? Something like that?
We can do that. Real quick, the headliner tonight is then Ego.
Oh, no, that's Saturday night.
I'm sorry, Saturday night. Yeah, you're right. Saturday night.
Yep. We're going on, we wanted to, every time we've done the Wilbur's gig, we've always ended up, by the time we go on, it's really late. And we play for an older crowd like you, Randy,
Yeah.
Like, you're the one that's usually falling asleep, I think, right?
So 9:30, 10 o'clock.
I just wanted to make sure you'd see the show. So the show itself, I think, starts around 9, and we go on after the opener. And then Ego's going to close out the show tomorrow with some prog rock.
Very good.
So it's going to be a fun night.
What's this old stuff?
I want to see Randy just jump over this console and go in trap.
I'd hurt myself. I would start jumping over. I'd probably break both turntables, damage the microphones, and still never reach you guys.
See, people don't understand, though. It's like family. Randy and I love each other very much. It's like Mick and Keith. We love each other very much, but we can say things nobody else can.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Somebody else were to say something about Randy, you know, it'd be like...
That's it. Know? It's a fight.
Right, right.
It's almost like a brothers or sisters. That no good son of a gun, don't you say anything bad about him.
Right, exactly.
I love that no good son of a gun.
Right, right.
And don't even think of saying something bad. Yeah, I've never got that.
No, it's two highlights of my year. And you're going to say something about this. Hanging out with Randy here on the show sometime during the summer. We try and tour through. And then at the NAMM show in January when you come out to California. And we get to hang out. And we get to hang out with your lovely wife. And usually have a nice dinner.
My lovely wife.
There you go.
You got to hold that one against me.
I try and I try. And you keep getting yourself in trouble.
I know I do.
Over and over again.
For those that know my wife, she is a sweetheart. And they will attest to that. So I can't say anything bad. But
when you told me you were getting married before I even met her, my jaw hit the floor.
I bet it
and
did.
And then when I met her, I was like, okay, did you inherit some money? I mean, what is... What is going on?
Very large dowry. Oh, you're talking about Karen. She's a sweetheart. And she tolerates me.
Well, this is exactly what I'm saying, Randy.
She puts up with the radio show and all the strange musicians calling.
How did you get such a cool, beautiful lady?
I don't know.
Hang out and put up with you.
Because I'm wonderful. Okay, that's not it.
So the new record, Sound Mind, which we'll be selling copies of and signing tonight at the Guitar Center.
You're going to have it tonight and tomorrow night, huh?
Absolutely.
How long did it take you to write and record for this record?
Good question, Jen.
Thanks, Randy.
Well, we finished touring. It's actually been a year and a half since we've been out here with Randy or so, but we finished touring on the last record September 2010. And so about that time is when I started working on this stuff. So I spent last winter working on it, and then we started tracking. We got sidetracked by a few things. We did a Carl Palmer show and a few TLB gigs, and then we did the NAMM show, which that was a little bit of a detraction because we wanted to go into that prepared, not just winging it. But around February, I think, we actually started getting really, as a band, really down to work on the record. And I had everything demoed by then, and then these guys always get in and truly make it better. You know, I could make jokes, but the truth is these guys come in and make things. You know, I'm not a drummer by any means, and I'm not a bass player by any means. So these guys add their own flavor to things, help make the arrangements maybe a little smoother, and add whatever they add, ear candy and all kinds of stuff. What do you guys add?
Drums.
Drums.
Bass. Is it unusual for a band to record that fast?
I don't know. Is it, Randy? Do bands normally start writing in September and finish recording in, when do we finish? Like April?
Yeah, well, the record came out May 27th. There was about a month for replication and things of that nature. So April.
We were done early April, late April, something like that.
Mid-April.
Yeah.
It took you guys a very long time. I mean, look at how long it took Eric Johnson to go from Tones to Avia Musicom. He put that out in about a week, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Was that 10 years?
10 or 12, yeah. No, it was a very, very quick transition from end of tour to writing and producing the next record.
Yeah, well, that's just for no other reason than I'm kind of a workaholic and I get right into it, but I definitely worked really hard on the writing on this record and tried to make it as interesting as I could. And, you know, as usual, our whole sound, I think, is starting to, at least if we're finding a sound, be based on the fact that we're listenable, or I try and make things listenable, but complex enough to be interesting. You know, so we don't necessarily fit into the progressive or fusion niche of a guy that's trying to sound as complicated as he can. We try and make things fuse together and have good melodies and make a song easy on the ears for somebody that doesn't necessarily like technical music, but make it technical enough to where it's a challenge to play every night, even if we're still playing it down the road. So there's lots of time changes and overlapping things like that, and but melody is always key. So
it's a very good record. Congratulations.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks.
And yeah, you really did get this one together quickly.
Yeah, well, quickly in the great scheme of things, I guess. To me, it always seems like it takes forever, but that's just because I never stop working on it. So.
No, it came together very quickly.
Gotcha.
I mean, through time, there have been a lot of bands that have put a record a year out for a period of time.
Yeah.
And that seems to be about where you're at now.
We try and do every 2 years just to give us time to really give the record its due. I don't think you can reach every outlet in a year's time on an independent band's touring level. And today it's... You could tour and tour and tour on a record like this. Some guys tour for 5 years on a fusion record, but we have such loyal people that support us that I feel like they get a little gypped if we don't try and keep putting some new stuff out. You know, like you mentioned Eric Johnson. As much as I love Eric Johnson, there was a while there where are you ever going to put out a new record? We're all waiting as a fan, you know. So I don't like to put people into the position of getting tired of the old stuff, you know, even though we want them to hopefully keep listening to it and digging it.
Well, you went from the studio Rate of Change to Sound Mind.
Yes.
With a stop in the middle for a live record.
Correct, and a DVD.
Now, how difficult... the DVD doesn't do me a lot of good up here.
No, but that from a production standpoint...
Yes.
You would think that a live record would be almost handed to you, because you don't have to write material and the recording is done in 2 hours. But the work that goes into the post-production on something like that, especially a DVD...
That was my question.
It's huge. And that was a double live album and a double DVD. So we have to basically mix and edit two records. The show is exactly as it happened, but you still need to make it sound good. It was still recorded, you know, 24 track digital, and we have to go in and mix and EQ things and make it sound as good as it can sound, which we worked really hard on to get it. It doesn't sound studio, but it's a really, really good sounding live record. I say that without any qualms. I was really happy with that record. Some of those versions to me are actually now the definitive versions of those songs compared to the early records we did. It was actually a chance to maybe redo some stuff that was recorded with a budget back in the early days and that sort of thing.
Now, what do you mean? It's like two records. Be it that it's two CDs, the actual sound, the CD portion of it is two discs?
Correct. It was a two-hour show, so it's albums.
Was it that you have to do... Did you edit the CD and then edit the DVD? You do them all?
Yeah, so you have to mix the record, produce a record, and then you have a 9-camera shoot in this case for that DVD. So then 2 hours, so that's 18 hours worth of footage. So you're not just, with 9 cameras, you have some choices. So you're going through and you're picking the best shot for the best, you know, few seconds of music, wherever that may be. And so you're going to sync all that to the soundtrack that you've come up with, which is the album you've mixed, or the 5.1 mix for the DVD in this case. So, and that's another thing, is if with 5.1, then you have a couple of different mixes you have to deal with. Then you have to deal with the video footage, like I say, 18 hours worth of video, which anyone that's ever done any video editing. And
get tired of looking at yourself?
Believe me.
So, Jen, does Travis have this on the wall at home? We're looking at the first CD, the big 5x5.
Right. It's in his mother's home.
Oh, he couldn't steal it from her, huh?
No. Yeah, mom stares at my huge face.
That's got to be scary.
It's got to be. And like I say, I've never looked that good, so maybe it's a little easier on her than an actual photograph. But
this is my son. He's a comic book character.
Right. But, yeah, so the live record and the live DVD were a big project, as big as recording and writing any album, because that was kind of two projects in one. And then the editing and mixing of that whole project took, you know, 6-7 months, something like that, from what I remember. So it's a lot of work. I know.
Wow.
I heard that on that last DVD Steve Vai was working on, he had started working on it himself like we do, and eventually had to, like, you know, get somebody to come in and kind of do some of the busy work on it, because it just takes up all your time. And at some point, you know, you probably should be playing your instrument, playing music. But we have, you know, there's a few things. We have a limited budget, obviously, being an independent band. But we also, having a limited budget, want it to compete with anyone that doesn't. So we get in there and we work on stuff until it's as good as anything out there. And that's something we've always tried to do. And that takes time, you know. It's time or money with any kind of music production. So,
well, that's the one thing I've noticed about the Travis Larson Band. You guys always seem to keep the product that you put out top shelf.
Well, I appreciate
it. 100%. It's just a good quality. All the discs sound good. Going back to the first disc.
Oh, thank you. Well,
it all sounds good. It all looks good. It's well written. And I think, you know, I say this, it's easy for me to say because I can't help. I mean nothing. But when you're getting people like Sterling Ball looking at the band and saying, yeah, we want you guys to come in and play for Music Man for Ernie Ball. You have Electro Voice coming in and saying that we want you guys to be our clinicians, the people that are showing off our equipment. That speaks volumes for what you guys have accomplished.
Well, yeah, I mean, It's also says what we think about their gear as well, because when you tour for a living and you play for a living, all, you know, small budget or not, it doesn't really matter. You know, we can have any gear we want. We would buy that gear. It's like if you're going to be a race car driver, you're going to get a car that's going to get you to the finish line, potentially. But you find gear that you really, really love, and then hopefully people that you can really, really work with. And those are, you know, several cases where that's worked out phenomenally. Ernie Ball, Music Man, Electric Voice, Mark Bass, Stevie Mark, all that stuff. And it's all the people are as important as the product, but the product starts the whole thing. You know, if we didn't like the gear, we wouldn't use it, and we wouldn't play through amps that sounded like garbage to us for all the money in the world, because if we were doing this for the money, we'd be doing something else. You know what I'm saying?
You'd be doing rock music instead of instrumental.
Yeah, exactly. I know how to make money.
We'd all be climbing on the Travis Larson Learjet.
That's right. And speaking on, you know, behalf of a manufacturer, I'll echo exactly what Travis is saying. You know, when looking at endorsers, the band has to be at a certain caliber. No doubt about it. But it's also about the people and being able to work with them day after day and really become family is really what it's all about. So it's the personalities involved with this particular group that is just phenomenal, on top of the amazing talent and sound quality, from tone to production value. And these guys do it all themselves. I mean, 100%. I've never seen a harder working band going after what they love to do, regardless of budget or regardless of the financial return on it. These guys just have a dedication to creativity and a dedication to discipline, which is rare for bands nowadays. And they do it all themselves, and they take it very seriously. And on top of being the greatest people in the world, that makes a superstar group right there, in my opinion.
Yeah, they've done very well. You guys have done fantastic.
Here's that 20 I promised you, Mark.
What was that, Travis?
So here's that 20 I promised you, Mark.
Wow. Travis is buying lunch, huh?
Right. That's true. For a manufacturer, you can't. There's some talented artists out there, no doubt about it. But you can't put them in front of a crowd representing your brand. They might be popular on popular radio, but they don't speak well for the art of music and the company as a manufacturer. So no one lines up better than the Travis Larson Band for Electro Voice. And again, we make speakers. When we play speakers for people, it's critical listening. We spend days picking out pre-recorded tracks to demo people to listen to our speakers, days and days and days, to find the best quality production, full bandwidth, that express music great. And that's days just picking out a track to play people over our speakers. I can take the Travis Larson Band and put them in front of any of our sound systems, and I know it's going to be stellar. And in a true critical listening environment, it's amazing. They're just top talent. I'm a fan.
Well, that was one thing we'd wanted to do, was talk to Mark real quick about Electro Voice, EV.
Yeah.
And what is it that you do with the company, and what is the company exactly? I'm used to them being PA systems, period.
Yep. You got it.
That's it, PA systems.
Okay. Well, we've been around doing it a long time. We're celebrating 84 years in business this year.
Man, you're slightly older than I am. Wow.
Yeah, a little bit. But we started out making microphones 84 years ago. And from there, we were along for the ride to develop PA systems for rock and roll and concert venues in the 60s. There weren't companies that made large format PAs to put on large shows. Electro Voice was there. Early on, we invented the humbucking coil. For all you guitar players out there that play humbucking coils, Electro Voice invented that, and we first used it in a microphone. It's basically a way to cancel noise that you get from a single coil. And we've just been doing it a long time. My role with the company is director of sales for key accounts for the United States. So I handle our largest retail customers across the U.S., and we sell our products into those stores, those dealers, and they put them out to the public. So part of my role with the band is bringing them along and doing some clinics, showing people who Electro Voice is, telling the EV story, what's the EV sound. We've been doing it a long time, and we take it very seriously, from the largest concert venues in the world. As a matter of fact, we just hosted the Kenny Chesney tour down in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, the largest dome structure in the Americas, and it was all Electro Voice. And we take that along with these guys, representing our gear, turning people on to who we are and what we do, and how seriously we take great sound. And any musician, whether you're just starting or are huge, it's all about sound. It's all about your sound quality, your tone, and then being able to accurately reproduce that in the real world. And Electro Voice's slogan is, wherever the human voice or an instrument needs to be amplified, we'll be there, and we'll do it very accurately. And it just works great to have Travis along for doing clinics and showing people what we sound like through his sound. It's pretty cool.
Well, that was a real quick snippet of what Electro Voice is and what you do. But that was something nice to hear, because people don't realize what it takes to put a system into an arena, into a concert venue.
Even in your basement, if you're rehearsing with your band in the basement, okay? You know, we build all our own drivers, all our own woofers, and we build all our own crossover networks and our cabinets themselves. And the goal is to accurately represent what's happening in the real world. And Travis spent years working on his tone and you know, crafting this amazing tone. And then, again, that's why Ernie Ball thinks so highly of the band. It's all about how it sounds. And that's our goal. That's our role in life. We build all this ourselves, and we make sure it's accurately representing what's going into it. You don't want things to color your tone. You don't want an inexpensive speaker to color what you're doing and change that amazing guitar tone you've worked years to get, or the tone of this just your straight guitar out of a speaker. It should represent exactly what's going in, what comes out. And for voice, same thing. It's the ultimate instrument is the human voice, and that should sound just like what's happening in the real world.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, you listen to my voice. Nails down a chalkboard, and it's only analog. I didn't even have a digital voice.
We can help you with that, Randy. I'm just
right. Well, what, wow. You know what Mark's talking about is you know, we can make things on stage sound however we want, but what the audience hears in a given club isn't always the same. You know, we can take out our Mark bass rig and our DeviMark amps and the best drum set in the world, but if you're running it through garbage and you're out front with, you know, a low-end PA system, then the audience isn't hearing what you're hearing or what you're putting out. And the other thing about their wireless systems is I've never had any of the same thing they have with the PA systems, with the wireless systems. Not to sound like a commercial, but they don't color the tone on the guitars or the basses either. And to be able to have basically the freedom to run around and not have any, usually when you run a wireless versus a cable, there's quite a bit of difference. You know, you'll hear frequencies that are missing and everything sounds a little bit, just lo-fi, for lack of a better term. You know, like your vocal, Randy.
Yeah. Wow.
So
that hurts.
But it's just the best stuff I've found. And you know, when I was looking for gear to on that level, microphones and PA gear and wireless systems, it was the best stuff I saw the best guys using. And now they've got consumer level stuff, which is great, because it's the first time in the history of I've been with EV where I've seen them putting out a consumer level PA system that rivals anything that anyone would use for a small club or their garage band or any of that stuff. But you're getting the EV quality with the new LiveX PA systems, and it's really cool stuff. And it's, you know, the price point on it, Mark deals with that stuff obviously a lot more than I do, but the stuff is very affordable, so yeah. Really cool.
It's a really, really fun time for Electro Voice, you know, kind of relaunching into the consumer level and retail level of PA. You know, we cut our teeth on the concert tour stages, right? Those are our Formula One race cars. That's big stuff. And it's expensive. But we use that same technology and engineering all the way down now to a level that anyone can afford Electro Voice. And that's not always been the case. We've always been kind of the more expensive brand. And if you step up, and maybe it's your second or third or fourth buy in a PA, you might, you know, step up to Electro Voice. Now we're able to make those products at a great price point for anyone to walk into. And we can take any startup band and change their sound overnight just by having a good PA. And it's fun.
Yeah, really cool stuff.
Interesting.
So, next time you need a PA, Randy.
Yeah, because I'm trying to outfit the neighborhood.
So Randy, I've never gotten you to introduce the band, but you and Mark, you're going to have to fight over who introduces us in Cleveland on Saturday night. Because usually when I go to towns, the DJ, you know, that we end up, the few towns that we have a DJ actually promoting us. You know, but when we did the UFO tour last time we were here, we had quite a few DJs that were involved with that. And those guys always introduce the show. But Randy, you've never introduced the show. Now, I don't know if you'd be interested in doing something like that.
You know, I would do it, but on one condition.
Yes.
That I'm kind of like the voice behind Mark, so when they throw things, they hit Mark. When that great audience that you had last night throws things.
Right.
They paid Mark.
You. I'll shield you, brother.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll introduce the band if Mark comes up and introduces the band with me.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So,
it's you, the duo.
So you, the home viewer, Saturday night at Wilbert's, you get to see Randy Eller,
in
the flesh under hot lights. That
sweating.
We'll keep you up there for a while, you know.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, and I'll mention again tonight the Akron Guitar Center at 6:00. Where is it actually located?
Actually, it's Fairlawn.
Fairlawn. Okay.
So I know if you take 77 down, Route 18 is the Fairlawn exit. It's going to be right near there. I don't know exactly. I haven't looked it up yet, but it's going to be very close to that Fairlawn exit.
Right,
and that's just before you head down into the actual Akron proper.
Gotcha. And if you need the details, you can go to TravisLarsonBand.com. It's TravisLarsonBand. I know how to spell my own name.
MOUSE.
Right, exactly. Larson with an O. TravisLarsonBand.com.
TravisLarsonBand.com.
And you can get all the details there, and you can find us on Facebook like everybody else now and all that sort of stuff.
And a quick reminder also, don't be late. It starts at 6 o'clock tonight.
It's an early start. Yes, and the store.
What, Guitar Center closes early?
They close at 8 tonight.
Yeah, they roll Friday up the night. Sidewalks at 8 o'clock down in Akron, down in Fairlawn. So
come on down at 6 o'clock. Again, we've got some great giveaways from Ernie Ball Music Man and Mark Bass, and again, Randy's buying dinner for everybody when we're done.
Wow. I'm glad I'm going to be there.
But so the same crowd that was there last night, they should all show up because...
I bet a lot of them were going to.
They were disappointed you weren't there, and I'm not sure it's for the right reasons.
They wanted to give you a hard time personally.
They wanted to make sure that we gave you a hard time.
I'm getting to a point where everybody gives me a tough time. It doesn't matter who it is. I have a tough time no matter where I go, no matter who I deal with, no matter who I talk to.
And I go ahead.
But it's all done in love, right?
Right.
My dog gives me a tough time.
That's definitely done in love.
I do have to give a shout out to our buddy and comrade Doug Johns,
DJ.
Yeah, here in Cleveland, and Chris Eja, who's putting us up for the couple of nights. But Doug, you know, we haven't done a gig in Cleveland without Doug until now. Unfortunately, he's not going to play Saturday night, but. He may just play. We'll see. If he shows up, I may pull him up there. And
everywhere he goes, he has that bass with him.
But he doesn't have a set booked.
We should call him Linus. He Linus with the blanket. Doug carries his bass around.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen Doug Johns, check him out. He's one of the best bass players on the planet, and amazing stuff. If you like super funky extravaganzas, then Doug Johns is your man. And he was going to call in and harass us today, but he hasn't yet, so I don't know what's going on.
Maybe he tried and I missed the phone.
You know, usually he likes to call in because he can smoke.
Yeah, man.
I'm smoking right now, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, congratulations to Doug Johns. His third record has come out called Stank.
Yeah. And I told him I'd give him some time, so since he's not calling in, I'm giving him time right now.
Yeah.
I'm giving you time right now, Doug.
And speaking of which, we have just a couple minutes left, so let's get into one more tune and we'll say goodbye.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Yeah, this is a tune called Down on Victory, which, is that what I told you?
That doesn't sound good.
Well, here's the deal with that, so I figured I'd explain it. Victory Boulevard is a boulevard in Southern California.
Okay.
As a little kid, I lived on it. And it's changed a little bit, you know, now that that I've grown older and haven't been there in a long time. You go down on Victory, and it's a little bit different. But this is the only tune I've ever recorded, and we'll see if I do it again. But we were saying I never would. I had a conversation with a friend of mine in the business that said, you shouldn't, not people in general shouldn't, but you shouldn't use a whammy pedal on your stuff. If you guys don't know what a whammy pedal is, it's a pedal that you can set to octaves or whatever pitch bending you want, so you can pitch bend your guitar with a pedal and get some pretty extreme effects, sounding almost like a synthesizer pitch bender or something like that. So there's a couple of guys out there, you know, Joe Satriani, Steve Vai, that use a lot of whammy pedal, and it's such an identifiable sound that, not that they have overused it, but I didn't necessarily want to go there because... people identify it with that, and they immediately say to a guy like me, oh, you sound like Joe Satriani, or you sound like Steve Vai. So I said to my friend, what if I used it in a way that maybe I phrased things where I sound a little more like maybe Keith Emerson from the 70s, you know, and ELP. I'm a big ELP guy. We played with Carl Palmer in December or November, and going way back, I love that stuff. So I did that, and then being TLB, you know, of course, we would have to mix it up, so we added kind of almost a 70s funk groove, a little more of a, maybe a Earth, Wind, and Fire Tower power thing, but of course, it's in 7/8 time, and the whole song has a whole bunch of whammy pedal on it. And this is Down on Victory.
The Travis Larson Band. And that was something called Down on Victory.
Down on Victory.
Interesting stuff.
Off the new album, Sound Mind.
I actually like the pedal.
The whammy?
The whammy. Well, speaking of whammy, Herb Irvin's in next.
Hi, Herb.
Oh, dude. I'm in the room. That's
why I leave. Why's he got to be
there? I wouldn't say it unless you were here.
Oh, God. Every time we come here, Herb's coming in.
We but, black president. You can't about me now.
Tonight, the Fairlawn Guitar Center.
Yes.
6 p.m. start. 6 p.m. An early start.
Yep.
If you go to travislarson.com, there's something called tour dates. They're in reverse order. I noticed that. You're starting from...
We start with the most recent or the...
The ones that haven't been done yet.
Right, right.
And it goes backward.
Wait, there's a constant debate on how that should be done.
It's as long as I could figure it out, it's not a problem either way. But you guys are all set to go this evening, 6 p.m. at Fairlawn.
Yes.
And then tomorrow night, Uzizi, Travis Larson Band, and Ego, Dan Shostak, Mike Risco.
Yeah, that's the plan. We're going to rock out. And you're going to be at both shows, right?
I'm going to be at both shows. And that's going to be Wilbert's tomorrow evening.
Yes.
That's about a 9 o'clock start?
That's about 9 o'clock, yes.
Okay, the Baconator.
Tonight. Yes.
Bacon.
And I got to thank, again, tonight, the Clinic Guitar Center, Ernie Ball Music Man, and Mark Bass for helping out and sponsoring the thing. And we've got some cool giveaways for everybody, so come check it out. And Mark Storm from Electro Voice for always being a proponent of TLB and out helping us on the road and all that sort of good stuff. So all good folk, good companies. And then there's Randy Aller. We get to him. And Randy, I get sappy at the end of every one of these things.
You do.
I know it's going to be a while before we see again. But truly, you know, the reason we started coming to Cleveland is because of you. And you are one of the most important people out there trying to push this kind of music, you know, in the world. There's not a whole lot of real radio left, so we really appreciate what you do. You truly are a good friend, and you do mean a lot to us. And thanks so much for having us, as usual.
We're so glad you come to Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
You were here last night, you're here tonight, you're here tomorrow night.
We are.
So that's just fantastic.
And it's all because of you, my friend.
Well, you know, I'm not taking credit for this. You can't blame me for it. Besides, you come to Cleveland for the pierogies, right?
There you go.
Right, exactly. Week, I like to see the art museum. That's why we're here.
Yes. And you had a good time.
And Herb's here. We like to say hi to Herb every time.
Absolutely. Herb Irvin, up next, he's going to take you in the anti-urban contemporary thing. You ready to go, Herb?
Yeah, sure, babe. Yeah, right on.
All right, it's 2 o'clock. This is Randy, or 3 o'clock. Randy Aller signing off. The Travis Larson Band, www.travislarson.com. TravisLarsonBand.com.
TravisLarsonBand.com.
Dale Moon, Jennifer Young.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks. Mark Storm.
Love you, bro.
And that other guy, Travis Larson, that long-haired guy.
Thanks, Randy. You are the man, and we do love you.
We love you guys. Herb's taking it away now. Bye-bye, Cleveland.